My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of the show. We are now officially part of the Soundstone Network, so Pixels and Polygons is on a podcast network. We've got a some information that you can find in the links below in the show notes. There's a link to the Soundstone Network. I almost forgot the name right off the gate. But you can find a link to the Soundstone Network page. We have a giveaway going right now where you can win a bunch of my books and some of the zines, but also a $200 gift card / credit to your platform of choice for like a video game shopping spree. It's free to sign up for. You just like subscribe to like our shows from the network, newsletters, you know, find us on our social media platforms, and yeah, there's a whole like Gleam link and everything you can find. Definitely do that, take advantage of that free stuff, and who doesn't like free games? So check that out at the link below. Other than that, I've got Aaron from Superpod Saga on again, talking about his console story. This is always a fun question. Well, I guess it's less of a question and more of just hearing the conversation, hearing what and why we love the things that we love. So having that conversation on the favorite console, or one of the favorite consoles, that is the main episode after the break. Otherwise, it's same business as usual. I have some stuff in the works. By the time this comes out, maybe there's some new news on the beat 'em up roller coaster. Hopefully, I'm putting it to recording here, so I really have some confidence and faith that something's going to come through there. But be on the lookout for maybe some new news there. The newest Retro Game Zine issue, issue 5 that covers Breath of Fire, is now available for sale on the physical copies through pixelsandpolygons.net, but you can also get it digitally through my Patreon. And that features a really cool like guest contribution from Aiden Moyer. So you've heard him on the show, and if you don't listen to it already, you should listen to his new podcast, Fun Factor. And what else do I got? I think it's kind of the current stuff that's cooking. So I'm working on the new issues of the zine. Still 32-bit library volume 5 is still plugging away at. And yeah, still the same fun. So if you like what I've been doing, leave a review. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That really helps. Even sharing the links with your friends. If you share it on Blue Sky, like tag me, and love to see those nice words. You know, if you don't have nice words and you don't like it, you know, I mean, maybe you just keep not saying anything, and that's totally fine. But you do you. So enjoy the episode after the break, and we will see you all again in 7 days. Bye.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary, cultural, and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. We just chat about a single gaming question each episode and try and keep it short and sweet. I call it the perfect podcast between podcasts, since, you know, you're likely to listen to a few others. Maybe your commute doesn't have quite enough time to start that next episode, but that's where Pixels and Polygons slots in. I've got a returning guest, I can say now. I've known him for a while. We've been going back and forth for weeks. It's just, you know, new friends. We have not known each other for 28 minutes only. But we've got Aaron from Superpod Saga back on the show. Welcome back to the show, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back on. It's yeah.
Time flies, man. It just seems like we were just chatting. I hate the gimmick that I have to do with that. Again, just to address it, we are recording these episodes back to back. So the first episode you heard with Aaron, we're recorded this moments after, even though you as a listener are listening to this weeks later. So if we reference anything from our previous episode, that's why I like to share just in case. You could always go back and listen to that one. But we are literally in the heels of that conversation. So Aaron, what's been a recent episode that you want to highlight of your own show? Like, has there been a great conversation or topic that's come up that stands out that you would recommend like a new listener to jump into, or where would you recommend somebody maybe kind of starts if they want to listen to Superpod Saga?
Yeah, I think like our most recent episode, we were joined by Brian Rigsby, who does the retro game books, and we talked about the year 2004 and how awesome that was. But if you want, I guess, to dip your toes more so and start easy on Superpod Saga, you could we have an episode 129 where we came back from our 2 month break, and it was just Jerry and I catching up, talking about what games we've been playing. I'm talking about pretty much what we've been doing throughout the whole break. So that might be a good place to start as far as the show.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's two good recommendations. Rigsby, I don't know if you know, I've had him on my show a couple times. He's sold my 32-bit library books on his site. I just blindly stumbled upon him because I was creating and writing some retro game books. And I was like, man, I'd literally like to meet some other people who sell retro gaming books. And Google showed me the URL of retrogamebooks.com. I'm like, wow, if any place is going to maybe carry these books, I think I should start talking to this person here. We became quick friends. We even did the Portland Retro Gaming Expo last year. We had tables next to each other. So we've been able to kind of cross-pollinate some of our stuff. And so when I started the podcast, he was one of the earlier guests I got on board, and he's come back a number of times. But yeah, I love Brian Rigsby. He's a good dude and puts out some good books himself. He's got some new stuff cooking this year too. So he's going to probably get bigger than ever. So yeah, I guess check out that episode for sure. And check out both your recommendations. Obviously it's your show, so let's follow your instructions and we'll catch up on Superpod Saga that way. Yeah, let's jump into it then. We got an icebreaker question, but let's do another round of this or that. So are you game for that, Aaron?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Action RPG or strategy RPG?
Oh, strategy RPG every time. My weakness.
Every time. Really? Okay. So what are some favorite strategy RPGs that you, are in your memory?
So for sure, Shining Force 2, always a recommendation. Triangle Strategy is a newer one that I think is really, really, really good. And then Steamworld Heist is, a more underappreciated gem that more people should play.
Interesting. Okay. Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank?
Jack and Daxter.
Okay. Standard edition or collector's edition?
Standard edition. I like to save money.
Monster Rancher or Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter.
Okay. Are you playing Wilds right now?
I was. I had to stop for a little bit because it's a little bit too much, but it's good though. It's awesome.
Let's see. Limited health and ammo or unlimited?
Limited.
Okay. Like some tension there. And let's see. Fox or Falco?
Oh, Falco. Love that mouthy guy.
Okay. And let's say last one here. Medieval or sci-fi?
This one's really making me... medieval.
Medieval. Okay. Okay. What made you lean in that direction? What was the thing that popped in your brain that pushed you that way?
I think I just enjoy like wizards and like goblins and all the stuff that comes. I like that a lot more than like spaceships and planets and stuff.
You got your brain muscles muscling up there. So let me hit you with an icebreaker here then.
Okay.
I would like to know, who is one of your favorite characters, just from gaming in general? It doesn't have to be a main character or anything, but who is one of your favorite characters who primarily wears blue?
Primarily wears blue. I guess Mega Man would be a good one.
Boom.
I might immediately go to Mega Man. Yeah, Mega Man X to be specific.
Okay. X going to give it to you.
Yeah, he is going to give it to you.
I've heard that. That is a phrase that's around, I believe. So I think it's related to Mega Man X specifically. That's what it's written about. So X is going to give it to you. I mean, the Blue Bomber makes sense. When I picked the color, I was trying to randomize the color. But as soon as I said blue, I was hoping like, wait, I hope it isn't like Sonic, because it's just too easy. Mega Man makes like the most sense. So
yeah. Unfortunately, my brain didn't even like try to think Sonic. It immediately went to Mega Man. I even went as far as the Dragon Quest slime, but he doesn't wear blue. It just is blue. So that,
yeah, he is blue. Yeah, that's true. And Sonic, same thing. Sonic, he just is blue.
That's true.
I believe the lore is he turned blue when he broke the sound barrier for the first time. Is that true? Can you confirm that? Are you any type of Sonic aficionado?
No, I'll have to run that. My buddy Thrack, who does the 3DO experience, I'll have to run it by him and see if he knows this little bit. That's something.
I swear, I don't remember where that comes from. That just lives deep down in there. I don't know if that came from one of the two animated series like I would watch as a kid, if maybe that's where it was explained. So it may not be canon. It may just be part of the creation of those animated shows, but I feel that also could have been something I just read in some kind of like guidebook or something like that. I don't know, but be curious to know if it's real. We have the power of the internet in front of us, but I'm not gonna do that. I'll look it up later.
No worries.
For now, we live in a world where he may have turned blue because he broke the sound barrier for the first time. But yeah, we're gonna have some fun here. This one is different. So obviously, this is a conversational podcast. Typically, I do like to ask some questions along the way and everything. And I mean, there's still a chance to ask questions here for this question, this prompt. But this also is a little bit more personal. So I'd like you to tell us one of your console stories. So what video game console kind of was important or impactful, on your video game experience? Tell us a little about the lead up to it, like, how you got it, what games you got with it, what memories you have of it. And then, I'll probably have some questions along the way there. But yeah, what is that console, and tell us that story?
Probably the most influential console, I'm trying to say. The most influential console to me was for sure the GameCube. I remember getting the black GameCube. It came in a bundle with Metroid Prime, and I forget if it was for my birthday or Christmas, but yeah, my dad bought it for me, the whole bundle. No memory card, though, for some reason, so I couldn't save. So my brother and I would take turns getting as far as we could in Metroid Prime without saving, before we'd have to go anywhere, like get groceries or go back to my mom's or whatever. Eventually, we got a memory card. I think when we got Pikmin was the second game we got for it, and I forget if we got a memory card then or if we got the memory card that came with Animal Crossing, because I think that was the next game I got after that. But
yeah, that came with that memory card 59 in the Animal Crossing. Because you needed a memory card with at least 59 blocks to save Animal Crossing, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And God forbid you don't save the game before you turn off the GameCube. Then Mr. Rossetti would just rip you a new one. God damn. So my stepbrother and I, whenever I would go to my dad's every other weekend, my stepbrother and I would play the GameCube just all the time. If we weren't playing Perfect Dark on N64, we were playing something on the GameCube. We eventually got, Mario Kart Double Dash, holy shit. We eventually got that, and we played that quite a bit. I'm really surprised they haven't ever made another Double Dash, because it was just cool to be able to tag team on the same cart, like swap back and forth, mm-hmm. and fire up the specials and everything. I remember also coming across Sonic Adventure DX DX Director's Cut at a movie gallery, the same place we talked about in the previous episode I was on. Listeners, go check that out. Yeah, Sonic Adventure DX, because I had, at the time, I was a little kid. I had no idea the Dreamcast was even a thing. Didn't know there was a Sonic Adventure original on Dreamcast. I thought, oh, wow, look, this cool new Sonic game on GameCube. And yeah, I fell in love with that game on there. Same with Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, or whatever it was called there. And just a ton of, like, I think I probably spent the most time on Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on GameCube.
That's a good one.
That, or no, that had to have been the game I spent the most time on. I remember my first character was of the Clava race, I think is how you say it. C-L-A-V-T or C-L-A-V-A-T, mm-hmm. I don't know, but named him Crow, and I just flew through the game over and over and over again. Too good. That game was awesome.
You mentioned you were younger, like, so you had a Nintendo 64 as well. Do you think that's obviously what influenced you to want to get that GameCube? You wanted that next new, like, Nintendo console just to continue what you were already, like, enjoying about the 64? Is that where the assumption is anyway?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure. We did also have a PS1, but I don't recall ever even thinking about the PlayStation 2 until Kingdom Hearts came out, because that was like Final Fantasy plus Disney. I need this. But yeah, I think the main reason for me wanting a GameCube was for the new Mario Sunshine. I vaguely remember my cousin playing Super Mario Sunshine, and it was just gigantic, and everything looked so good. And my stepbrother, who had the N64, we played, it was always in the kitchen of my dad's house. There was a little tiny TV, and sitting next to it was the N64, and we would sit in the kitchen and play Super Mario 64 all the time. And then eventually hearing about Super Mario Sunshine in a magazine, I was like, wow, this looks awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember getting that same GameCube bundle you mentioned with Metroid Prime. My older brother, he's about 2 years older, a little less than 2 years. He had just gotten his first job, and like one of his earliest paychecks and all that stuff. He was just like, hey, you know what? Let's go buy a GameCube. And so, we just drove up to, we drove up to like a random Walmart or something like that. I don't even remember where we went, but it was just like the raddest thing ever. Like, he just like dropped the cash to just outright buy the GameCube and Metroid Prime and everything. On just like a fluke, on just like a whim, and bringing it back and just kind of playing it and having access to a GameCube for a little while was just like, it was not a thought that entered my brain that I thought we were going to do. I was already like deep into my love of my PlayStation 2 and everything, and but just being a big gaming fan, like just to have this whole other ship sitting there to with all these other possible destinations was just like super rad. But you also mentioned the memory card situation. My brother and I also had that same problem, not with the GameCube, but when I originally got my first PlayStation, we did not get a memory card with that. And so I had like Twisted Metal and some of the earlier games, it didn't matter because there was like password saves. And so, you can kind of still play along that way. But we ended up getting, we rented anyway, we convinced my mom to open up a membership at a Hollywood Video when we were just out one day, and we convinced her to let us rent Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil 2. We got both of those games, and full well knowing we weren't going to be able to return them because we were in a part of, like, we lived in the kind of a more remote area, and where we were at was like a 45-minute drive, maybe an hour drive from where we lived. So, like, we knew it wasn't going to go back in 4 days. It wasn't going to go back anytime soon. And we knew it was going to just be some, like, negative hit to, like, her credit or whatever. But we were like, hey, whatever, it's a good chance to get these two games. We want to play them. But we would have to play Final Fantasy VII as far as we could get it every time. And a few times we made it to the end of Midgar, getting out, walked into Calm, and we're like, man, this is so, we've gotten so far. This is rad. And then ultimately, like, we'd have to stop eventually, we'd have to turn it off and that was it. And we'd have to repeat that process again and again. And, so finally when we got that memory card, it was so quick for us to get to that, that point in the game again. But like, from there it was like, wow, like we've only played a fraction of this game. This is amazing. Like what a memory card can do for you. What other aspects of the GameCube did you like? Did you like its design and everything? Did that form factor and that real solid, it was a, a dense cube, actually. It had quite a weight to it and everything as well. I mean, did you like its design and everything to the system as well?
Yeah, like I remember reading about, I was at the dentist's office and they had some magazine, I forget what it was, and I remember reading about, they had this whole article about the next generation of systems. So it was like the PlayStation, the Xbox, and I think the GameCube back then was just called Project Dolphin or something, and and it was just a cube. Like, and it looked so cool, looked so rad. And eventually, after we did get one, and we discovered that when you hold A when it's starting up, you go to like the little start menu thing and like where all your saves and stuff are. That's also so cool. I miss that kind of cool stuff. Like the PlayStation, well, not to go too far into the PlayStation, but like that whole generation, the UIs were just so cool and unique and fun to just explore and tinker with stuff in. But
yeah,
the GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, the GameCube had it as well. Like the memory card manager and like looking at just the icons for the save files and everything. Yeah. Like I would do the same thing on the PlayStation. But like, you know, if you were bored enough and just did not have a game to play, like sometimes I would still power it on just to kind of like mess around with and look, you know, dig around some settings. Maybe there was something I didn't know about in there and everything. But I liked its little glass, like, you know, cube UI where you would just kind of turn and tilt it to those different sections of the interface and everything. It always looked really rad.
And it made those cool sounds when you turned each side. It'd be like, ba-na, 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 ba-na. Yeah. And then when you select something, it'd be like, boo-a. I can't do that exact sound. But yeah, the sounds were really, really cool. I used to dick around with that all the time. Just constantly like tilted this way and that.
And the hidden features of like the startup sounds, like you mentioned, obviously you can get to that by holding A, but holding the Z button down and having like the animal sounds like replace that GameCube, like enunciating the little like beats of it dropping out its cubes and everything. And there was another one with like children laughing. I don't remember what you held down for that.
You'd have four controllers. You had to hold down A or Z. I forget exactly which button, but you had to hold it down on four controllers, and it'd be
gotcha.
It'd be like the Japanese, like oh sound, and then ting as the cube drops. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
Good stuff. Did you ever use or get into like the online adapter and play like Phantasy Star or anything for it? Did you get like that crazy with the GameCube or like have like the Game Boy Player for like the Game Boy Advance games and stuff?
I didn't go that crazy, unfortunately. I remember seeing that they had online mode for Kirby Air Ride, or I think it was just called Land Mode or something like that. And I think I remember looking into that at a GameStop and it was like $60. I was like, no, I'd rather just buy a new game. I did goof around a couple times with the Game Boy Advanced GameCube link cable, and I remember getting the fusion suit from Metroid Fusion on Metroid Prime. I remember goofing around a little bit with the Chao Garden, I believe, with Sonic Adventure DX to Sonic. I forget what. There's so many Sonic games on Game Boy Advance. I forget which one I had. And then I remember the multiplayer on Crystal Chronicles. It required you to have the Game Boy Advance and the link cable for players 2 through 3, and I goofed around with that maybe a couple times. But I think that,
did you ever play the Four Swords adventure? Was that another one that you ever tried to play?
No, I played a little bit of the I think it was just the original Four Swords on Game Boy Advance. I played a little bit of that with some middle school friends, but we never played the one on GameCube. Four Swords Adventure, was that the GameCube one?
Yeah, that was like bundled with actually, I forget what it came with. Was it one of those collector's discs, or maybe it was Wind Waker itself that actually just had it on there? I don't remember anymore, actually.
That sounds familiar. It might have been.
Yeah, the Game Boy Player was one I did love. You know, I put like a lot of miles on that. I mean, I was in high school already at that time, and I had met my now wife in high school, and we were hanging out, so I wasn't going to just completely abandon video games. I would never do that. So I started having a lot more mobile gaming experiences, so a lot of Game Boy Advance, I had an SP, you know, that I would travel around with and everything, and so waiting on the bus to kind of go meet her somewhere, or doing, you know, wherever I was like having to kill time, having that Game Boy Advance, I'd put a lot of hours. So Fusion, Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, you know, the Mario Advance titles, the Castlevania games. Like, there were so many games you could like play on that SP, but when I'd be able to get home and play it on the Game Boy player, like Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. It would take advantage of like the controller, the GameCube controller's rumble. So you could, if you played it on just the SP, you would never find certain hidden items that were out and about in the world when you explored. But if you played it on the Game Boy player, you could just walk across a patch of grass and suddenly it would rumble. And if you like did a little like dig technique there, you can find like a hidden item. It never was game breaking or anything, but it was neat that they had this, like, they had the technology and the ability to potentially enhance these Game Boy Advance games, like for GameCube. And I always thought that was really cool, but there's not a lot of games I think that ever really took full advantage of, like, you know, hey, we're you're playing this Game Boy game on a Game Boy player. Hey, here's a benefit that you get for doing so.
That is really cool, man. I had no idea they did that with Superstar Saga.
Yeah. I've even seen some chaos where people played Crystal Chronicles, but instead of playing it on Game Boy Advances with the Game Boy Advance link cables, they plugged in the Game Boy player to a GameCube, to a TV, use the link cable from that Game Boy player slot because it had the expansion bay to connect to another source. And so you'd have way too many TVs, way too many GameCubes out there. And that's how you people were playing the game. It just seems like a chaotic mess, but one, I mean, I guess you could only do with that era of gaming.
That's so good. I kind of miss when games had that kind of stuff. Not the chaotic mess, but like the portable to console transfer cable. Cause I remember the Dreamcast, you could connect to the, not to get too far off topic, but like the Dreamcast and the Neo Geo Pocket Color, they could connect and you could like transfer points and save data and stuff for new characters exclusively on, you know, the Neo Geo Pocket Color version or the Dreamcast version. That kind of stuff is just, it was so cool. I mean, I don't know if we could ever make it work in today's gaming landscape, but yeah, that shit was just so awesome.
Yeah, different era. That's it then. Again, we've arrived at our destination. We've answered the question. Well, we got to hear, at least anyway, the GameCube story, Aaron's GameCube story. Anything else you want to say or plug before we wrap at all, Aaron?
Yeah, just go listen to Super Pod Saga. It's just the funny gaming podcast I do with my co-host Jerry. New episodes every single Monday. We're always cooking up new goofy topics. I mean, you can also follow me on Blue Sky. I like to make posts about just random games that I'm playing too. I guess everybody does it on Blue Sky, but yeah, also go play Custom Robo, and yeah, that's it.
All right. Cool. Well, I will have the links to the show and or your show and like your Blue Sky handle and everything in the show notes. But it's been really fun chatting with you. I mean, I think the whole point in doing this show for me is to like just meet new people and keep talking about video games. So finding new people to just hear their memories, it just re-triggers, you know, memories of my own and everything. So I appreciate you joining along. This for real is the end of our conversation, but I definitely would like to, you know, extend an invite out. You know, we'll have another episode in the future if you're down for it. Well, and that will be a fresh recording where we won't pretend to be recording immediately afterwards with weeks in between.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hit me up anytime at all.
All right. Right on, Aaron. Well, you have a good afternoon, and everyone, thanks for listening, not for living. Well, I mean, good job in living too, but y'all have a good one. All right. Bye.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.